the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Allegations of sexual assault and sexual harassment continue to blaze across the headlines. A civil trial alleging sexual assault against former President Trump is underway right now in New York City. Former D.C. Mayor Chief of Staff John Falcicchio resigned after he was accused of sexual harassment. April is National Sexual Assault and Prevention Awareness Month, and we have two advocates with us to discuss the issue. Shakira Jarvis is the director of the Office of Interpersonal Violence Prevention Center at Howard University, and Neil Irvin is the executive director of MCSR, formerly known as Men Can Stop Rape. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Shakira, thanks for joining the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Neil, good to talk to you again.
You as well, sir. Always good to be with you, Harold.
Shakira, let me start with something really simple. As I said, this is National Sexual Assault Prevention and Awareness Month. This is an opportunity to bring awareness of this issue. What is it that people don't know?
I think when it comes to what people don't know about sexual assault, it can be a range of things. One, just understanding that sexual assault is not one thing. It's first and foremost unwanted sexual contact, but that intrinsically means it's a spectrum and a spectrum of behaviors, that it can be things that people consider subtle or non-sexual, but it can also be just things that are incredibly violent and traumatizing and violating. And I think the biggest takeaway is that sexual assault is, besides being unwanted, it can be very contextual to people's previous experiences and just what they think is appropriate and okay and safe.
The difference between the two, are those differences, are we talking about a gray area? I would think that it's not a fine line.
It is not a fine line. I think when people think about a gray area, a lot of that comes from, honestly, a lack of education, not necessarily about what sexual assault is, but really about just what safe behaviors are and what communication and education about being everything from sexual and intimate relationships to just being casual encounters, just what are the things that constitute just healthy interactions? And in the absence of understanding what the healthy behaviors are, I think assaulting behaviors can look like a gray area to people, or just not understanding, or how we got our wires crossed is something that a lot of people say. But it really stems from a lack of information about what is appropriate, what is safe, and what is a healthy behavior.
Mm-hmm. Neil, often when we talk about sexual harassment and sexual assault, we often focus on women being on the receiving end of these unwanted issues. But talk to us a little bit about a man's perspective, what men need to know, and what men who already know should be telling men who don't understand.
Yeah, thanks so much. I mean, just to support Shakira's guidance so far, you know, there's both what's not known, continues to be the education of those who are unaware of the complicated intersections of behavior and appropriate boundaries and healthy relationships. And so certainly, you know, Harold, as you and I have now had this conversation each April for several years, it is a continuation of that conversation. It's the ongoing, not just in April, but throughout the year, speaking with our peers, but for younger people who are themselves trying to navigate and understand, you know, the ever-changing social norms of our society, to demonstrate what those boundaries are, to role model what those boundaries are, to hold boys and men and others accountable to understanding what healthy relationships are, what healthy behaviors are, So I think it's both and, right, that we're going to continue with another dose for those of us, yourself, myself, and other men who are trying to be aware, wanting to be focused, wanting to be accountable, and also bring in and educate those younger men who have, and older men who maybe not have heard these messages as consistently as they should have around what is appropriate, what are appropriate boundaries, and that it's an ongoing life expectation of how we treat one another.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about sexual assault and sexual harassment and what you can do about it. Give us a call if you have any comments or questions. Again, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Neil, let's talk a little more plainly, specifically as it relates to men. And because you said some older men may not necessarily have been getting the messages as frequently, as succinctly as they should. But even, to be quite honest, I think younger men either aren't getting the message, aren't listening. What kind of conversations are you having, and what are you hearing from men on this particular issue?
Well, you know, our work with young people, not only in this city, across the country, Harold, allow us to hear some of the struggles they have with understanding social cues and social norms as it relates to when can I ask someone for a date? How do I get consent? Can consent be taken back? You know, how do I actually practice healthy relationships and the behaviors of healthy relationships? And so I think with the younger students who are starting to enter into the dating world or have already had some experience in the dating world, trying to stay up on, you know, both now you can ask people out on your phone. And so it's not a face-to-face interaction. Really trying to help them think through what are those appropriate boundaries and expectations of communication and as they discuss, you know, the who, what, when, and where of how to treat someone appropriately and as it relates to physical interactions or interest in one another. How do we respect and understand what people's boundaries around these things are? How often can we call them on the phone? When can I show up to their house, or can I ever show up to their house? So for our younger students, it's really some of the same developmental pieces in their lives that they're trying to figure out as young people do. I would say for older men, many of us, it's about, you know, in the workplace. You know, when is it truly a compliment, and when have you crossed a boundary? When, you know, how is it to maintain a professional relationship and decorum with your peers and your colleagues so that you aren't creating an environment where there's toxicity or there's a harassment, where people's wires can get crossed, but to be really transparent and understand and be able to really listen to other people's needs and boundaries. So it's very much an ongoing discussion of the day-to-day interactions we have with one another, whether it be on the metro or in the classroom. Again, the prevention piece is important. The education piece is important because those are the skills connected to how we treat one another on the day-to-day.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about sexual assault and sexual harassment. Give us a call. Leo, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Leo. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was in a relationship, a beginning of a relationship, and we got to the point where we were going to have sex. And as I was undressing her, as she wanted me to, she said no. So I stopped. And she's confused now. I didn't know she was. I thought no meant no. And she asked me, why did I stop? And I told her, because you said no. And she still didn't get the full concept of no means no. And a lot of other guys don't believe that. No means no.
So even after you said to her that no means no, she said she still didn't understand?
No, she didn't.
Yeah. Shakira, your thoughts about what Leo is sharing with us, because that kind of confusion is, in a word, confusing to people, particularly men.
And I think what I would say to Leo as the caller is, if you heard a no and you stopped, you did everything you were supposed to do, and if further conversation needed to happen to get to clarity on if she was interested in something like consensual non-consent as a kink, which is a healthy form of sexuality, or if there was some actual kind of miscommunication or wire crossed, you had every right to stop and ask her for clarity and have conversation and communication until you both got to a place in your encounter that felt comfortable or didn't feel like there were wires crossed. So props to you, Leo, for one, asserting that you heard a no and you stopped. And even if it seemed like the encounter got confusing after that, it also seems like it didn't end in harm.
Yeah. Are you still in a relationship with this person?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Neil, your thoughts about what Leo was sharing with us?
Well, I support what Shakira said, and Leo, I support what you did. I think that's right. No still means no. Consent can be withdrawn at any time, and it's case by case or behavior by behavior. So I think it's exactly the right thing to do, and you know, ongoing communication is necessary. So for us and in the work that we do and trying to promote healthy masculinity, you know, we don't discuss toxic masculinity because we believe in men's ability and character and interest in being strong without being violent. Leo is a great example of what we teach the boys that we work with and the young men that we speak to and the adult men. To be a leader in communicating and a great listener and to do no harm, as Shakira said earlier, Leo just gave us a great example of what that sounds like and how that should unfold.
Leo, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Peppers calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. My name is Dr. Peppers, and I consider myself as being a sexologist. Okay, sex is sex. If I had my sexual agency where people can come and choose the type of person that they want, that would cut down on all the rape. I was sexually abused since I was 2 years old up until the age of 11. And when I became a teenager, I had a sexual aid agency, which a guy would come to me and he would tell me what type of woman he wants. And I would find that type of woman. And then everything was kosher. Some guys even get kicks out of raping. Some women like to be raped. But what it is we have to have an open line of communication. Everything has to be laid on the table.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you had a sexual aid agency, like I tried to do, it wouldn't be no problem.
Let me, Dr. Peppers, let me see if Shakira can offer us some clarity on what you're sharing with us. Shakira.
So first I'll say, Dr. Peppers, as a survivor of sexual assault, just thank you for calling in and just bringing awareness and advancing our conversations. When you bring up the concept of, I think I'm hearing, sexual agency, understanding that that's something, especially among the people that I work with, I work with a lot of college students, sexual agency, just understanding your rights and abilities and what you can and can't say no to when it comes to engaging with somebody intimately or sexually is a skill. It's an interpersonal skill, just recognizing that you have rights and you can communicate them, you can assert them in sexual encounters. And sexual agency is actually a very big component of the work that we do in the interpersonal violence prevention program, understanding that preventing harm and healing from harm also means coming into yourself and healing your sexual confidence, your sexual identity. And you have every right to do that, again, without experiencing harm. I think I'm curious what Neil just kind of has to say on the concept of sexual agency. I know it's something we've spoken about a lot since we've gotten to know each other.
Yeah, I sure, I'm kind of, you know, repeating what you said. I think it's important from an empowerment perspective, from a healthy relationship perspective, from a communication perspective, that people recognize their agency and that they have the autonomy to make these decisions on how and who they choose to share or be intimate with. I think, you know, we have to continue doing the ongoing education so that we don't, again, cross boundaries or get wires crossed so that people are misrepresenting what their agency might be or what other agencies what other individual's agency might be. Mm-hmm. So boundaries become really important, and I agree. Thank you for sharing your experience. I'm sorry that that was your experience, but I do think it is the moving the conversation forward to recognize the importance that we all should play in understanding what healthy sexual relationships should be so that we don't have crossed wires and that we do have agency in making decisions and that we're clear about what that agency is so that, as the previous caller was saying, we understand what the boundaries are when we need to stop and what communication or education needs to be continued or what we need to do to inform people better about their agency.
Dr. Peppers, thank you so much for your phone call. Before I go to a break, I want to say that Jay from Fort Washington, we're going to talk to you next, so please don't hang up. But before the break, I want to ask both of you to at least share a resource that our listeners can reach out to if they have questions or concerns or, you know, an experience regarding harassment or assault. Shakira, from you, please.
Okay. I would probably, the resource I would give would be the DC Rape Crisis Center as just one of the oldest and most dynamic services in the district and throughout the nation. I would probably say that is a great place to start a healing journey.
Mm-hmm. And also from you, Neil, a resource?
Yeah, I would support the first and oldest DC Rape Crisis Center in the country, DC Rape Crisis Center in the country, but I would also add to expand to the advocacy, legal, and education piece to include our colleagues who are members of the DC Coalition to End Sexual Violence, you know, a cohort of the continuum of care that survivors may find themselves in need of. And so both of those resources should put our community in the best position to get whatever services or agency that they need.
And as always, that information will be posted along with this podcast, as we do every day after 8:30 on WHUR.com. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, more on sexual assault and sexual harassment in the community. 202-319-7810. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on SiriusXM. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we talk about sexual assault and sexual harassment in the community. April is Sexual Assault and Prevention Awareness Month. My guests are Shakira Jarvis. She is the director of the Office of Interpersonal Violence Prevention at the Let's start that again. She is the director of the Office of the Interpersonal Violence and Prevention Center at Howard University, and Neil Irvin, Executive Director of MCSR, formerly known as Men Can Stop Rape. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jay calling from Fort Washington, Maryland. Thanks for calling, Jay. What's on your mind?
I'm calling about the situation that Leo had. I had several of those situations myself. And, like, I had a person come to me. We went out several times, went to the house. Everything was nice and cozy. And things were about to get heated. And just when the clothes was about to come off, she was like, I don't think we should do this right now. And I said, okay, no problem. And then she goes to my friends and asks my friends, what's wrong with your boy? I'm there, and he didn't even try to take anything from me. And I'm like, I don't take nothing if it's not given to me. And I done seen that happen in several occasions. Even with some of my friends, they done told me stuff like that done happen to them.
Yeah, you know, and I think you're right in the sense that this is not an uncommon experience where you do have men who are informed, men who are in no rush, and it seems that the situation has juxtaposed where women in some cases may expect them to be a little more assertive, and it makes a situation difficult. you know, Shakira, talk to us about that. Then I'll have Neil jump in.
I think very similar to the experience with Leo, that you did what you are supposed to do, that when it comes to somebody saying no, you will stop, and you are supposed to stop. And if conversation and communication and getting to an understanding about if they're concerned or confused why you stopped, or you're kind of put on alert for after hearing a no and then somebody kind of feeling like they want you to keep going, you have a right as a person in that encounter to seek understanding. And you also have a right to end the encounter. Very similar to the previous caller, that if this is just somebody that you can't come to understanding or consensus on how you guys engage safely, this might not be the person for you. And there are plenty other people that are willing to communicate safer and in a way that's more conducive to just better, just more comfort in the encounter.
Neil?
Yeah, again, I would just support everything Shakira said and the caller is saying. It's just really important. It feels very unsafe when communication isn't clear. It feels like a potential setup for everyone involved. And so for us, you know, the thing that we want to teach the men that we work with and the young people that we serve is to be really clear and to protect themselves. And as Shakira said, it's really important to know that, you know, you as a man also have the right to stop the encounter and remove yourself so that you're not somewhere later having to, you know, he said, she said, or clarify something that was unclear from the very beginning. It's a really important sign of agency. And for us, we think it really promotes the kind of character and the kind of masculinity that we want to see. Men, again, being strong without being violent and really role modeling what healthy relationships are about.
Thank you so much for your phone call, Jay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Neil, I want to go back to something that you spoke about earlier. You were speaking about talking to young men about healthy masculinity versus toxic masculinity, and considering what two of our callers have just suggested, I think there are in the popular culture some mixed messages that men and women are getting, because and let's just be really, really flat-footed and plain spoken. I can understand that some women will say, and I'm sure you could speak to this also, Shakira, that some women will say that, you know, men who are doing the right thing, you know, per this conversation, are simps. Okay?
Yeah, right. Right.
And certainly that, you know, that would be, you know, insulting, because they aren't assertive, aren't aggressive. From their perspective, they're doing the right thing. No means no. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so now we're in a quandary. Never the twain shall meet. And I think this also gets into conversations about not only education, it gets into conversations about class and just, you know, issues
identity
with who you're dealing with. Neil.
Well, Harold, I think you're right. And again, I'm going to lean into that, you know, healthy masculinity, men of discipline, men of character, understand and have a vision for their own lives and their family's lives and the community they're a part of. And so from both a prevention and intervention approach, the strength that it takes to have the consistency of discipline to say, look, I'm not going to set myself up or someone else, even in their ignorance, I'm not going to, as a man, allow myself to be vulnerable because someone thinks by me doing the right thing, I'm a simp. That you know, a cowardice approach to saying someone doing the right thing as a simp is for us ignorance. Men know where and how and what the right thing is to do. We understand culture tries to convince us that, you know, you're a simp if you do the right thing, or you're square. You know, this is no different than, you know, someone getting an education is acting white, or we ignore all that nonsense. We teach our boys and the men that we work with that to be a man of character, to be a man of strength, really requires a discipline of character and an understanding to seek knowledge and to continue to learn how to be our best selves in all areas of our life. So we ignore, we don't look at the simp nonsense. We don't want to get sucked into that. We don't play in the manosphere nonsense. We know that men stand up for what's right. We do it consistently, particularly when it's hard. And so in a moment where someone is unclear about their intentions, our vision for our future as men and as community leaders requires us to either get clarity or remove ourselves from that situation. So we want to applaud all men that have that discipline, and we encourage other men to step into that discipline and that and those kind of character skill building elements as well.
Shakira.
I would echo all of that and probably add that what you described, Harold, probably isn't a behavior that is exclusive to just women or men seeking women, in that I probably think it can be a people behavior of just wanting something that you didn't communicate or putting an identity on somebody that is not necessarily accurate because they were able to hold a boundary that you somehow wanted them to violate. That I think that is a just an issue with sometimes with people, and especially considering that the between men, women, people that don't prescribe to the binary, that just the appropriate skills, everyone has an opportunity to not learn appropriate skills. And that at the moment of encountering those people, you have a right to assert your boundaries and end that encounter or resist just what they've put on you to be a simp or to not be strong because you are not violating a boundary that they verbally stated.
I would also, you know, add to that, as we've had conversations on this program all the time, even outside of the sexual arena that couples, particularly single people and even married people and people who've been involved, communication is difficult. It is imperfect. They don't do it well. And when you come back into the space where sexual interaction may seem imminent. In other words, it's about to go down. that can be problematic if your poor communication skills extend to when it's about to go down.
Probably say your confidence as well, your ability to assert yourself, that there are lots of skills that you need to engage and initiate a healthy sexual encounter. And I think a lot of people in just society have had the experience of kind of stumbling your way through a sexual encounter or it happening unplanned for any other reason on why people sometimes want to seek out unplanned sex. But it is one, I think, especially just how our society can think about sex sometimes, that it can seem really intense or uncomfortable to plan sex or have direct conversation about it. And so some of us try and attempt to just force ourselves through the encounter to get to the part that we want to. But if you have a healthy vantage point about your sexual identity and the behavior that you're engaging in, you do so with a lot more confidence and clarity and the ability to communicate safely.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mike calling from Maryland. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I had a quick question for you. Working for the government, I was a federal contractor, and oftentimes there is a work divide or equity divide between federal worker and contractor. A lot of times contractors don't have equal ground to stand on.
Say that again, Mike. You said contractors don't what?
Don't have an equal ground to stand on.
Why do you say that?
Mainly because contractors are hired by third party companies, like a subcontractor.
Okay. So what's your question?
So my question is about sexual assault in the workplace. A lot of times that goes undiscussed. And what are some resources you all could give to help someone who has been, sexually assaulted or sexually harassed in the workplace?
Okay. Before I do that, let me just make a blanket statement. Federal contractors or working in the dry cleaners or at a gas station or at a Fortune 500 company. A workplace is a workplace. And so if anything untoward happens to someone, you know, where you work should it really should not matter. Even if you were to work at a strip club and you were a dancer, any unwanted contact is still considered unwanted contact. With that said, Neil, I'll let you start with answering Mike's question.
Yeah, I'll keep this real simple. The D.C. Rape Crisis Center, again, the first and oldest rape crisis center in the country with a range of services from crisis intervention to advocacy, is always and should always be for a survivor or someone who knows a survivor a first step in making sure that whichever direction a survivor's healing may need to start, that they would be, in my opinion, the best resource to start with. And as you said, Harold, regardless of the circumstances or the employment status, the violence that is sexual assault and the protections against it are for all citizens. And again, that is, you know, the commitment to not only the Rape Crisis Center, but the coalition, and to make sure that, you know, our citizens know that they that we are not standing passively by where sexual assault or sexual harassment exists here in Washington, D.C.
Before I have Shakira jump in, Mike, I need a little more information, as much as you're willing to share with us. Are you talking about what are your legal rights, or are you talking about counseling and mental health in the aftermath of what happened to you?
Probably about the aftermath and more about legal rights, you know, even if it happened a while ago, like legal rights, what type of those types of resources I think would be beneficial for.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what happened? Was this verbal harassment? Was this a physical harassment? Was this physical assault? Were you assaulted by a man, a woman? Can you tell us a little bit more if you're willing to share?
Sure, I can share. So basically, I was at work and I was touched. By a female.
I'm sorry, you were touched?
Yeah, by a female.
Okay.
And, you know, we worked together, obviously, and so we had a pretty cordial relationship, but it was just unexpected. So, and as a result, I ended up, well, Mom, hold on a second.
Mike, are you there? Oh, okay. Okay, you said you had a cordial relationship and?
So we had a cordial relationship with that coworker. And as a result, because I was sexually abused in the past, like, you know,
okay.
A lot of people are. So that brought up some repressed memories and all that. However, my mom ended up having a heart attack slightly thereafter, so I needed emergency time off of work. And, you know, I had told my boss beforehand that, hey, my mom's talking about.
So if I can, I'm assuming the person who touched you was a superior, was your boss or something like that?
Kind of like an equal, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like an equal.
Okay, so as you said, you're trying to figure out next steps, not only legally, but you're also trying to figure out how you can, you know, go through a healing process, I would assume.
A healing process, how do I go about dealing with whatever legal, you know, cause
well, that's a lot. Let me see what our guests can share with you. That's fine, because that's why we have our expert advocates here. Shakira, take on what you feel comfortable sharing.
So again, Mike, I want to apologize for that experience, and thank you for seeking healing and help. I would say that this happened to you in your place of employment, and that employers that like retaining their staff do things to ensure their staff are safe and have fair access to their jobs to be able to thrive and excel. So I would really, that one of the resources that all of us should always know how to tap into and just be aware of before anything happens in our workplace is just our equal employment opportunity offices, and just understanding that most entities, no matter if you're a part of the federal government, you're private, have some type of human resources that has requirements on how they address and engage incidents like this. Neil mentioned DC Rape Crisis Center. I would probably also say that just especially if sexual assault has been something that's come up for you in the past, that just finding pathways to healing can really just be connecting with a counselor, connecting with a mental health provider. It can be somebody with a background and a specialty in sexual violence, but it doesn't have to be that. Just processing just pain from the past and experiences from the past, and seeing how you grow from them in the future is just very much within the wheelhouse of many mental health providers. So that's what I could offer in this space.
And I wanted to also share with you, before I go back to Neil, is you're calling from Maryland. I don't know where this happened, but you said that you had also been previously, right. Yeah, I said, before I go back to Neil, Mike, I wanted to say that this happened to you before, as a younger person, that just two weeks ago, that the governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, signed the Child Victims Act into law. That makes it easier for victims of child sex abuse to file civil lawsuits, and that enables abuse victims to file lawsuits even if their claims have already expired under an existing statute of limitations. Now, as it relates to something that happened on your job, I think, you know, Neil may be able to offer some thoughts on that as well. Neil?
Well, I think, as Shakira alluded to as well, your HR department certainly might be a first step for you to go to see what resources they provide. Hopefully, in our community now, HR departments are better educated, better equipped to support employees. And I think, Shakira, you mentioned about employers wanting to retain. If it's in Maryland, I would also offer the Maryland Coalition Against Sexual Assault has a range of resources as well. To reach out to them. Their website is very user-friendly and has a range of resources across the continuum of care for survivors, whether it happened to you when you were a child or an adult, if it's a recent issue. But I really like what Shakira was saying, Harold, and to the caller about finding a counselor, some mental health. You know, for us as men, it's something that we don't embrace as readily as we should. Just being able to heal and have someone who can support you through that healing always seems like a wise resource, and I would offer that as some guidance to support the caller, and thank again him for sharing his experiences, and for others who are going through a similar, to know you're not alone, and we want to support all that we can to help you all and assist you with whatever direction you want your healing to take.
Mike, thank you so much for your courage in sharing with us your story, your experience, and I certainly would recommend that you continue to seek healing and do a deep dive into your rights and how you might best move forward. So, Mike, thank you again for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk a little bit more in the last few minutes about workplace culture, because as we know, Shakira, you know, historically people meet their mates, a lot of times they meet their mates on the job, but you know, the culture of the, you know, the sexual dynamic, the dating dynamic as it relates to the workplace has changed significantly. Some would say that we had an eye-opening or eye-popping experience with the Senate hearings for Clarence Thomas when he was about to become a Supreme Court justice, but even since then, so much has happened. How would you characterize the landscape now, as well as some of the pitfalls of looking to date on the job?
So I'd say when it comes to one, just the concept of dating on the job, I think, one, people make connections any and everywhere. You kind of alluded to that. I think the biggest component for me of when it comes to dating on the job or just navigating things like sexual harassment in the workplace, paying attention to power dynamics, that it is one thing to flirt or be interested in somebody that is on the same level as you. But just thinking about the dynamics of trying to pursue somebody that is your superior or inferior to you, then that probably wasn't the right word. But
somebody who is in a lower perspective or position.
Right.
You please go right ahead. Yeah.
And that is it just appropriate that just with the power dynamics and what this person may feel comfortable or not comfortable asserting to you, is it appropriate to pursue that relationship? And if not, don't. That there is a world of, I want to say the population is it like 8 billion or something? But whatever our population of the world is, there are more people within your just life and social network that you can socialize with, and that person in that position might not be the best way. And your other question just about I think a lot of that, just the culture shift when it comes to the Me Too movement, things like social media and just the ability to tell your story, to amplify your voice in a way that you typically haven't been able to before, can empower other people to do the same. And it's just caused, I think, in a lot of industries, just more accountability and a new page when it comes to being alert to just how power dynamics manifest in your workspace and when people are taking advantage of those power dynamics.
And, you know, Neil, when you talk about, you know, the workspace and, you know, the dangers, for example, of trying to date someone on the job, it can go depending on how you handle, or I should say how you mishandle that situation. It can go from a simple request to perceived sexual harassment in a flash.
Certainly, and I think we started some of our conversation today around boundaries. And, you know, the importance of discipline with boundaries and communication. And so certainly the power dynamic of subordinates and senior staff is always something that has to be aware of. But also, again, it's, you know, it doesn't support productivity. And if you think about it, whether it be, you know, a university, the military, professional sports, corporate America, or a nonprofit world, it doesn't speak to productivity, having those types of relationships and those kinds of boundaries within any institution. So, certainly most people meet, you know, their partners. I know the research is clear, meet their partners in work settings. But I think it is a boundary that, again, back to transparency and communication, we would just really encourage people to be really, really aware. And again, HR departments, you know, for most institutions that I'm aware of, have some kind of policy or guidelines around that because of how challenging it can be to manage. So I just would always, you know, err on the side of caution with that and be mindful that you're aware of what your institution's policies are around that, so that you, again, are being respectful and aware of boundaries and aren't doing harm to yourself or someone else.
Mm-hmm. Shakira, I'll let you have a final word as it relates to just where we are in educating people about what sexual assault and harassment happens to be.
Thank you for that. I probably say when it comes to preventing sexual assault and sexual harassment, it starts with sexuality education, specifically comprehensive sexuality education that is stepwise, medically accurate, developmentally appropriate so that even from the youngest of us, we are learning and reinforcing skills on just healthy interaction, avoiding harm, help seeking when harm has occurred, and that education is probably the most preventative and protective thing we can do for our society and our young to, again, prevent sexual harm, and that we it needs to keep happening through all different levels of development. That I work with lots of college students, but it's one of the things I say to my colleagues a lot is that by the time they get to college, for some people, it's a little too late, that just the opportunity to reinforce and drill down on certain skills that protect starts really young. And so that's why, especially during April, that just that prevention piece that has made it into the acronym is so critical, because prevention is our goal, that we are really looking to eradicate sexual violence, and it comes by preventing it.
Yeah, well, let us say that in the current political climate for some parts of this country, that sexual education may be difficult to come by, and certainly that is going to be one of the challenges. I'll let you have the last 30 seconds, Neil.
I just would say thanks again to you, Harold, and the team at WHUR for another Sexual Assault Awareness Month conversation. We think this work is ongoing. It's about continuing to have opportunities to have these discussions, to hear from our community members about their experiences, to lift up resources, to promote that this is not just, you know, men or women or people. This is all of us as a community trying to make sure that we're actively representing and role modeling the skills that are in connected to healthy relationships and preventing all forms of gender-based violence, particularly sexual assault and harassment. So thank you again for being a leader on this. Again, it's an example, and want to make sure, you know, Shakira and the great work that they're doing at the Institute right now is lifted up as well. So, you know, we're always pleased to support you all and again, to promote what a safe community can be.
Neil Irvin, Shakira Jarvis, thank you both for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That is the Daily Drum for Wednesday, April 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.